Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie, with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how was South Dakota?
It was great. I actually didn't get snowed in, which is unusual for my trips there.
Well, does it snow there in June?
No, but it was very nice. It was a balmy 52 degrees one morning, rather than the 98 degree temperature we have here.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. I'm glad you're back.
Are you sure? Are you really sure?
Well, I can't do this alone.
It'd be funny to see you try.
I don't think it'd be that good. Before we get into this week's episode, guys, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out. Gets us more listeners, gets more people to pay attention to us. And we like that. This week's episode, Mr. Plow. Episode 9F07, originally aired November 19th, 1992, written by John Vitti, directed by Jim Reardon. Let's see, finished 23rd in the ratings, Nielsen rating of 14.6, approximately 13.6 million viewing households, was the highest rated show on Fox that week, beating Married with Children. Back on top, Matt.
I would hope this would be the highest rated show of the entire year.
23rd for that week.
Nah.
This is already well past the days when The Simpsons were, you know, the Bart Gets an F was the highest rated episode ever, and it's never going to get, I think Who Shot Mr. Burns is the best it's going to do for, you know, when we get there.
So weird.
And
it gets better and better and less people watch. It's not fair.
The chalkboard gag, a burp is not an answer. I disagree. A burp is certainly an answer.
It's a very disrespectful answer, but yes, it is an answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you're going for that. It's perfect. So, I guess, apart. The couch gag is the family sits on a wooden chair.
Creative.
Yeah.
Relatively so for the past few.
Yeah, it's not bad. Episode guest stars Adam West and Linda Ronstadt as themselves. Mm-hmm. They both do an excellent job.
I think this is where Adam West got his taste for voice work, and then was like, you know what, I'm just going to be on Family Guy from now on.
Maybe I think Seth MacFarlane really likes Adam West.
That too.
So he just gives him a bunch of work. Phil Hartman is seen as Troy McClure as well, even though I kind of feel even weird just calling him a guest star because he's on it so often.
Yeah.
He's like on every other episode at least. And it's like, I see him all the time. He's great. And Dan Castellaneta won an Emmy for this episode.
I hope so, because this is, as Homer-focused episodes go, this one is fantastic. It actually required a decent amount of range from Homer, and especially for this comedic timing in this particular episode is just so spot on.
And
I can definitely see why he won.
And he does Barney's voice as well. So
yeah,
it's the two biggest characters in this episode. So yeah, he clearly, this is also one of the episodes they submitted for the Emmys for I think most outstanding comedy. They did the previous years before this, they had submitted in animation and won. In this year, in the fourth and fifth seasons, they submitted as just outstanding comedy, and they were not even nominated. I guess the voters did not like nominating animated shows along with live action shows. And after this and the next season, they went back to just going to animated, and which they've won 8 more times. So I know it's, you know, a lot of the time it was big
voters are crazy,
big fish in a small pond, but you know, they clearly tried, and you know, this is a great candidate. The episode begins with we're seeing Carnival of the Stars, which is, you know, a parody of the it's a trend that has come back around. We see it a lot more now that like The Simpsons. I posted on our Facebook page, The Simpsons predicted everything, because I saw another, like every week you see an article about The Simpsons predicted this. This week it was baseball hacking. Because
yeah,
but every week it's something else. And this is another thing. This is a very popular thing. You know, they had, you know, celebrity shows where, you know, game shows, or you know, this one features Troy McClure. He calls out Erotic Adventures of Hercules, which we'll see later on, which we'll actually see kind of mentioned more later on in the series. But Krusty appears. Who's it? Murder She Wrote, that lady. What's her name, Matt?
Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury walk on hot coals. It's not great. But Homer's watching all this at Moe's. At the same time, I guess all the kids they're watching the same thing at home. So I don't know. I guess Homer just wants to be able to drink at the bar. But
well, yeah, you don't want to spend time with your family. That just sounds awful.
Even if you are just watching television. But Marge calls him, telling him that there's a lot of snow coming down. You should get home before it gets too bad. We see Homer try and drive home and hits the car. really bad. It's like a really bad car accident.
Yeah, it's like, how in the world did he survive unhurt? That doesn't look like that could happen.
Well, he does have a football helmet inside of his skull, basically, Matt.
That's true.
So later. His head takes the brunt of the impact, and we learn that later on. I mean, that checks out. Checks out. Canon.
Well, considering how many football players today are still having lifelong issues with head wounds, I think Homer's still in some tricky waters.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to call Homer a quick fella necessarily.
It'd be hard to tell with him.
Yeah, exactly. But the insurance, turns out he's in his own driveway and ran into their other car. I guess it's Marge's car, although it seems to be interchangeable at times, but which car they drive. But the insurance guy comes, and Homer has to explain where he was the night before.
Now, before I give you the check, one more question. This place Moe's you left just before the accident, this is a business of some kind?
Don't tell him you were at a bar. But what else is open at night? It's a pornography store. I was buying pornography. I would have never thought of that.
Yep. That's a brilliant scheme. I mean, nothing else is open. Not gas stations, not, cookie marts, something
places,
like that.
Places called Moe's. You have to think of something that have a name.
Would you go into a porno store named Moe's?
Well, let's see. It's 1992. There is no internet. I'm in Springfield. There's maybe no other pornography store in the entire city.
Fair enough.
I mean, maybe. Doubtful. Me, but Homer, absolutely. But this launches us into Homer looking for a new car. He has to go find a new car. We see him visit an Eastern European car dealership selling cars from countries that no longer exist.
Put it in H.
Put it in H. He hitches a ride in a truck with a pig and a farmer, which is a nice little gag. Or Homer eats the watermelon. He does not buy the little tiny Eastern European car. We go to an auto show. With Bart and Lisa, Bart jumps in the Bonnie and Clyde car on display, and Lisa goes up to a stand called the Fourth Reich Motors, which has a video play.
Our tireless safety engineers crash test over 1,000 cars a year.
Hey, wait, that's not a dummy.
This exhibit is closed.
Volkswagen. Why don't you use fake dummies?
How do you think they get a safety standard so high?
That's a good point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs. Or people. Homer enters a contest for a car where there's a booth babe, as you know, in the common convention nomenclature, is there saying the exact same thing to every single guy that comes by. But finally, they run into Batman. They run into Batman.
Yeah.
Adam West! Hey, kids, Batman!
Dad, that's not the real Batman.
Of course I'm Batman. See, here's a picture of me with Robin.
Who the hell's Robin?
Oh, I guess you're only familiar with the new Batman movies. Michelle Pfeiffer. The only true Catwoman is Julie Newmar, Lee Merriweather, or Eartha Kitt. And I didn't need molded plastic to improve my physique. Pure West. And how come Batman doesn't dance anymore? Remember the bat to see? Yo, hey, yeah. Wait, what?
Nice meeting you. Just keep moving. Don't make eye contact.
And...
oh, Mr. West.
I appreciate this especially because he's very, like, this is a very tongue-in-cheek performance. Like, it's kind of a self-aware writing where, you know, he's acting, he's himself, but not himself. And
he's how people imagine the person behind the 60s Batman.
Yeah, and this is yet another thing that, Family Guy steals from The Simpsons. A little anecdote is that apparently the writers included Adam West as the person they run into simply because John Vitti really just wanted to meet Adam West. They're like, oh, we really like Adam West. I mean, they were kids when Batman was on, so they're like, we want to meet Batman. So, you know, they wrote him in. But as they are running away from Adam West, or backing away slowly, they back into a display for what is a giant truck with a plow, a snow plow attached. Homer's very, you know, audibly impressed. And the salesman tries to get him in there. Homer, he's not sure if he'd buy it.
Yeah, I can't afford it.
Belly, this doesn't cost money. It makes money. You make the payments by plowing driveways on the side.
Well, I really should discuss this with my wife.
Your wife?
What, do you think I'm going to buy a $20,000 truck just because you make that noise? I'll take it!
Oh, that's a good salesman right there.
That's all it takes for Homer just came. He just has to act, imply that he's whipped. That's just dicks make that noise and works every time. And also, $20,000. That is downright affordable
that's
nowadays.
Really cheap.
For a giant truck. Now, that's probably double that at least. But with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Homer attempting to justify his purchase to Marge.
I can't believe you bought that plow. We can't afford it.
If you're going to get mad at me every time I do something stupid, then I guess I'll just have to stop doing stupid things.
Good.
Fine. I'll never, ever do another stupid thing. Good night.
Didn't that hurt?
No.
Good luck with that, Homer. I think we've all made that pledge. I'm never going to drink again, or I'm never going to eat this again. And, well, I guess being stupid is as good an attempt as those things. But, yeah, as we see, it's a little tough for Homer. But Homer is actually put some effort into this. He goes and starts putting a whole bunch of flyers underneath people's windshield wipers, which go to hell, Homer. People who do that, well, I know it's probably your job, but you suck. Just throwing that out there. But fortunately for those people and badly for Homer, those just blow away. But luckily, Barney is nearby to, you know, just show him the ropes for the flyer business.
Forget it, Homer. People don't read these things. Watch. 20% off at Lullabies. Just tell them Big Baby sent you. I know you can hear me. I'm talking to you.
You sicken me.
I guess guys like us just can't get a break. Well, at least I can't sink any lower. Come back, diaper. Come back. Hi, Ma.
Oh, poor Barney.
I guess Barney's mother, was, you know, on leave from the Navy.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, she is full-time Navy, but luckily Springfield has a Navy base and an Army base and an Air Force base. I don't think we've seen a Marine base near the Simpsons or Springfield, but they have the other three, so that's good.
Yeah, exactly.
But when this fails, Homer attempts to spread the word through church. But unfortunately, in his reading, where he attempts to give out his phone number and solicit people, Reverend Lovejoy is having nothing of it and uses the church bouncers to take him away. Apparently, their church has bouncers.
There's a lot of places in Springfield that have just inexplicable bouncers.
That's true. I mean, it's a rough place. Of course, Homer is suitably concerned about this, and he's lamenting the fact that he's going to lose his plow when Lisa speaks up and recommends, hey, you could buy cheap advertising on Channel 92, which I don't even think Channel 92 was a thing back in the early 90s. I mean, Mark Channel only went up to like 60-something, but apparently Springfield had a Channel 92, and you had wonderful commercials such as this.
Arr! 90 sea shanties on 3 compact discs. Row the man down, mateys, row the man down. Row, row, row your boat in the Navy. Come on and join your fellow man. Act now and get a bonus CD. Hornpipe Fever. Arr.
Okay, I feel like the Hornpipe Fever thing is a joke that I'm missing. Do you know what that's a reference to?
No. I really don't. I don't know if that's... Maybe... I guess I want to say it's just a non sequitur. That it's just, you know...
Okay, just checking.
I don't think it's supposed to reference to anything, but it's hard to tell sometimes. But this
it's true.
And I think when they say Channel 92, I think it's really just like a local cable access kind of channel. That's my suspicion, true. Or like a UHF channel, like something like that.
All right, well, how do you guys understand the joke that we're missing here? If there is one, just let us know. We'd love to be informed. But Homer says, oh, you know what? That's not a bad idea. And apparently their commercial plays on Channel 92, already a rarely watched channel, but it also plays at 3:17 a.m. And, of course, The children ask Homer, you know, who's watching TV this time? Angry loners and the unemployable are two of the people that I thought were, you know, people who probably aren't going to patronize Homer's services, but I guess you never know. Maybe they have friends.
You got to put yourself out there, Matt.
Of course, that's true.
You miss every pitch you don't swing at.
But I really loved Homer's comment here. It may be on a lousy channel, but The Simpsons are on TV, and I'm pretty sure that's yet another dig at Fox.
Yeah, I'm really certain.
It's true. But then we get to see the very first Simpson commercial.
Our driveway snowed in!
Old Man Winter!
That's right! I fill your driveways with ice and snow! What are you going to do about it? Nothing! That's what!
Stop!
Mr. Plow!
Get out, you lousy season!
All right, I'm going. My head hurts. I have to lie down for a while.
Yay!
Hello, I'm Mr. Plow. Are you tired of having your hands cut off by snow blowers and the inevitable heart attacks that come with shoveling snow?
Uh-huh.
Then call Klondike 53226. Call now and receive a free t-shirt. He could still surprise you.
But I'm a real tightwad. Can I afford this remarkable system?
Absolutely. My prices are so low, you'll think I've suffered brain damage.
You are fully bonded and licensed by the city, aren't you, Mr. Plow?
Shut up, boy. So remember, call Mr. Plow. That's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
All right, at some point I need to figure out what that background instrument is and how to play that little ditty that goes with it. Yeah. Just because I still sing the Mr. Plow song at least once every other day.
Mr. Plow, you know, that's my name again. Plow.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's perfect for smooth jazz.
Yeah, I can't apologize, guys, because you're gonna have that, both that and the Plow King song in your head after you listen to this. It's almost unavoidable.
That's true. As crappy as that commercial is, it works at all of Springfield.
I'm gonna defend that commercial. That for their budget, it's actually not bad.
Okay, it's not the worst.
It's
but
okay.
Grandpa as
Matt,
old man.
Okay, look. One, you can hear them. Okay, no audio problems. Two, framed.
Well, as far as we know, I mean,
framed
that could just
and
be an
shot
of a commercial inside a commercial.
Framed and shot really well. Like, everything's always in frame. You know, you see what you need to see. It's well lit. Those three problems exist in lots and lots of low-budget film of all types. Commercials,
okay,
movies.
Okay, fair enough. That's
okay. There's, you know, it's all family members, and Grandpa is dressed up as Old Man Winter. But you understand what's happening on the screen, which, for a budget of probably nothing, I think they did an admirable job.
That's true. We don't know that the audio was good and the framing was good. I think we can kind of see the framing, but we can't really tell if the audio was any good. We're just assuming it was good. But if those two things were true, then yeah, I'll give it. That's better than most of the local commercials I've ever seen. Way better, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
But it works. Apparently, everybody sees this commercial, and immediately Homer starts getting all kinds of jobs. He's able to clear out the snow from the Quickie Mart, which allows Snake and a friend to rob it immediately. He's able to plow the driveway of the retirement home, so they could go out if they wanted to, but they're not gonna because, you know, they're old people and they're scared of the world. And he even is able to plow in front of the school bus so the kids can actually have school instead of just poor Martin by himself braving the snow. Of course, this leads to Bart being pelted with snowballs, which I believe was from The Godfather. Is that what they're going for here, Robbie?
That is correct, The Godfather.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
Taking Sonny out at the... it was a toll booth in The Godfather.
Yes, it was a toll booth. Correct.
Okay. And because of all these heroic actions, Homer is given the key to the city. This is amazing. I love Mary Quimby's statement for allowing people to get where they're going without resorting to public transportation or carpooling. Because those things work when the roads are snowed in. I think it's a bit of a false dichotomy there, but hey. We then see Mo actually giving Homer a beer on the house. We also learn from Barney that Mo didn't do that to the freed Iranian hostages. Why the hostages would want to come to Springfield, who knows? But Mo is of the opinion that they shouldn't have been there in the first place. So I think we see Mo as just a little bit of a racist, just a little bit. Barney, of course, sees Homer getting a free beer and laments the fact that he will never get a free beer because he's not as good as Homer. And Homer gives him some pretty good advice.
I wish I was a hero. Well, wishing won't make it so. You gotta pull up your diaper, get out there, and be the best damn Barney you can be. Here I come, world! How do you think he'll do, Mo?
I think he'll do just fine.
And as we'll see, Mo is actually correct. It's hard to tell at the end of that commercial or the end of that clip, but Barney runs out into the world still in his big baby uniform and more than likely trips over a trash can and knocks himself out. But we actually then go to Homer and Marge getting a little frisky in bed, and we learn that Marge is interested in a little something else.
This might sound silly, but just for a change, would you mind
cutting my nails, brushing my teeth?
No, no. Could you wear the Mr. Plow jacket? Just, for fun.
Oh. Oh, Mr. Plow, that's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow.
I just want to call out right here how great the background music is, because it essentially makes this scene, because if Homer was doing that in silence and that just little piano part wasn't in the background, it would seem a little weird. But with that, you just, it totally gets you in the moment. And it, that in alone is kind of creepy, but you know, I do think Marge should have said, well, those things as well, and referring to the trimming his nails and brushing his teeth, because that's just being considerate. And everyone, before you get engaged in sexy times, do those things for the love of God, please. Your partners will thank you.
I'm glad that this is what this podcast has become, Matt. We had it's the sex advice podcast.
Sex advice, the bare minimum sex advice. You know what? That should be our next podcast. Bare minimum sex advice.
It'd be one episode long, man. We'd only have one episode, okay? It would not be good.
I don't know. We could take questions, and it'd be really funny.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Anyway, the next morning, Homer wakes up ready to do his normal plowing job and discovers to his horror that all the driveways have been plowed. Of course, Homer is, you know, he's a little bit, finds this mysterious until Barney drives by in an even bigger plow with his new label, the Plow King, emblazoned on the side. Homer is, of course, incredulous and asks Barney, how could you do this? And Barney says, oh, nothing wrong with a little healthy competition, before shooting Homer's rear tires out and laughing as he drives away. And we cut to black.
God.
Barney, that's horrible.
Yeah, I know. That's a little mean. I want to not
touch any legal.
I know, but I really, like, Homer does some pretty reprehensible, like, he's pretty bad later on. But when Barney, the first thing he does is shoot out Homer's tires, I can't blame Homer for, you know, going a little bit farther later on.
Yeah.
When we come back, they're all in Moe's, Barney and Homer in particular. And they're watching Barney's commercial, which features Linda Ronstadt singing a very catchy song itself.
When the snow a man you should be calling, that's Kale 54796. Let it ring. Mr. Plow is a loser, and I think he is a boozer. So you better make that call to the Plow King.
Okay, a couple notes on this song. One, mad props to Dan Castellaneta for being able to sing in Barney's voice, especially there at the end with that super high part. And secondly, I really like that song, but I always find myself singing the Spanish version instead for some reason.
The Spanish version's pretty sharp in itself. So, it's not bad. It's whatever you prefer. Homer is, he feels betrayed by Barney. And we actually get a flashback. You know, he's like, what have I ever done to you to deserve this? And we actually get a flashback to what is Barney's first drink.
Barney, my dad's asleep. Want a beer?
I don't know. The SATs are tomorrow.
I've got two words for you. Mellow out, man.
Hmm?
Hmm? All right, just one. If it'll get you off my back. Hey, where have you been all my life?
So, like, that is actually, like, a very kind of disturbing thing. Because we just saw, we are just now witness to Barney's alcohol, the birth of his alcoholism.
There apparently all it took was one drink. All those after school specials were dead on.
But I love the, like, the Twilight Zone-esque transformation. And the fact that the pre-drinking Barney, had, like, Dan gave him that, like, almost, like, the Eastern Atlantic accent, quote, like, you know, quote-unquote, that, you know, there was a lot of in movies in the 40s and 50s. I think that's really fun. And, like, it makes him sound more educated. You don't have to necessarily, just from listening to it, it makes him sound smarter, which is strange because that was the whole point of that accent in the first place. It's all made up. But Plow King has taken over all of Homer's business, and I'm not sure how much of it is that Barney was, you know, strong-arming him, or if it was really just he outworked Homer, because it seems like Adam West mentions Homer being late. Flanders, you know, is willing to pay Homer to plow it again. Homer takes his money and doesn't plow it to show him. yeah, that's very nice, Homer. He thinks that we had a call from the delinquent accounts at the company that sold him the plow, Kumatsu Motors, and he pretends that he was in Leave It to Beaver. And this line almost didn't make it into the show. It went back and forth in the censors because they were afraid they were going to get sued for libel for calling people in the show on Leave It to Beaver gay. But they're like, it could be anyone. You don't know who they're talking about. And I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. Homer does a very, he does it. Oh, actually, it is bad, but it is on purpose bad. It is like a dad rap from 1992, which is kind of actually ahead of its time in being a bad dad rap. Because that's the thing people still do now on purpose. So. It's actually, it works pretty well. They get a very, like, a professional advertising company make a commercial, and it just looks like a fancy, like, perfume commercial. Calvin Klein, one of those ones, especially in the 90s. Those commercials were absolutely ridiculous.
So bad.
But there's a huge snowstorm coming in, and Kent Brockman reporting, Forbidding Widow's Peak. It's quite a name for a place.
See, I always wondered, is the forbidding part of the name, or
yes,
is that just what they call it?
I think it is. I think the actual name of the place is Forbidding Widow's Peak.
That's what I thought too.
I enjoy that more. But he calls, he realizes that, hey, I can trap Barney up there all day, and while he's up there, I can get my customers back. Which, you know, he calls Barney, who's in a hot tub with Linda Ronstadt, in a Speedo, nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is where we hear a little bit of the Spanish version of his jingle. Homer promises him a $10,000 bill, which has all of the presidents on it.
All, what was it, 41 presidents at that point? 40 or 41? I can't remember.
41.
It would have been Bush the first, so 41,
Bush
I think.
Bush Senior was,
yeah.
41, yeah. Oh, I forgot one little clip, Matt. Let me backtrack a little, guys. Barney at one point does get the key to the city, and I had to capture the exchange of the key.
The torch has been passed to a new generation of snow plow people. Come on, give me the key. These look like teeth marks.
I thought there was chocolate inside. Well, why was it wrapped in foil?
It was never wrapped in foil.
yummy. Just chewing on a metal key.
But there is, it's quite actually like really great sequence follows where Homer quickly sees on the news that Barney's trapped in an avalanche by is it a Fox News team? A Fox camera team or something that was filming the fake Bigfoot documentary?
In Search of Bigfoot.
And they managed to catch Barney getting hit by an avalanche. Homer goes up to save him. And you can't really capture this on the audio because it's all just sound effects and visual stuff. But it's a lot of really good stuff. I particularly like him tilting over the edge and then using the radio dial to get him back onto flat land. It's a really, apparently,
yeah, what happened with a new vehicle? You wouldn't have had that radio dial to save you.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, that is Conan O'Brien's gag. He was the one who pitched that.
Nice.
Homer comes to the rescue, saves Barney. And Okay, Matt, this is a very good episode. My only critique of it, the only thing I can really point at and go, that seems a little strange. I'm going to ask you, because as they do this, they go, oh, well, we'll be a team now. We'll be partners. No one can stop us. And then,
oh no!
Yeah, then we hear a voice from the heavens. A light breaks through the clouds, and we see all the snow melt. And obviously, it's God. God is literally a deus ex machina. And I don't mind the fact you see the light. I don't mind the fact that the snow all melts. The fact that God speaks, saying, "Oh no!" I mean, I guess that's kind of the gag, and it hits it hard, makes it hit harder. But it feels like, you know, in all every other appearance, it's always like a dream sequence. Or do they? I don't think they actually hear him, do they?
That's what I was going to say. Is it doesn't seem that they actually hear him. I think that's just us, the audience, hearing that, because they don't make any response to God doing that. They're just like, "Oh well, that sucks."
Yeah, it feels out of place. Kind of in this episode, because
that's the response to their hubris.
Yeah, I mean, the talking part, it feels weird to me. It feels very much like in War of the Simpsons when the fish winks at the camera. It just felt.
I don't think it's quite that bad.
Okay, it feels a little weird to me, and not bad. It doesn't. It's just it stuck out to me. That's why I bring it up. But the episode ends when all the snow melted. The elderly can now leave. Their retirement home, if they want.
The snow's melted. We can go outside again. I don't like the looks of those teenagers.
Those damn teenagers.
It's true, teenagers. They're always going to screw you.
But Homer, we see him in bed with Marge when the Repo Depot calls. Repo Depot makes another appearance to distract him when they tow the snowplow. But Marge she has some reassuring words. I'll say that.
Oh, now, homie, you have your health. You have your best friend back. And you do have that certain special something.
You mean...
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Plow, that's my name. That name again is Mr. Plow. Our forecast calls for flurries of passion, followed by extended periods of getting it on.
And that's how the episode ends.
Oh my god. That last little bit, the extended periods of getting it on, also a line I continue to use to this day.
Call extended periods of getting it on. And Marge's little giggle. It's a nice little cap for the episode. This is a very good episode, Matt. I always like Mr. Plow, but rewatching it again, and like, it's really good. It's a very good episode.
It's really, really good.
It's really smart. It's really funny. There's really good like visual sequences. A lot of character stuff in this with Homer and Barney. Like, it's interesting to see them interact in this way. It's a very good episode. Interesting to see where it will go. Best episode ever, which we'll rank it at the end of the show. No submissions for my favorite episode. If you guys have any, please send them to simpsonshowpod@gmail.com, simply explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and we will read it on air. Oh no, Matt.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Well, guys, it's time for comments from the news group. I comb through the alt.tv.simpsons news group back in the day in the proto internet, and kind of look at what these Simpsons fans at the time were kind of talking about. I found a couple things. It's pretty interesting. Let's see. There was apparently an ad for this episode where Homer is driving his plow and spells out Mr. Plow. No, he spells out the Simpsons logo in snow before running into a tree. Running into a tree at the end and yelling "Doe." Which is, it's kind of fun because it's not in the episode. It's like a little gag that's just in one of the ads. And I would be interested. I wonder if any of this stuff's on YouTube. Gotta look it up sometime soon.
Yeah, it feels like one of those things that today would definitely go on YouTube and everyone would be sharing like crazy. But back then, you weren't able to do that. And only a few people ever got to see it.
Someone translated a bit of the Spanish Plow King song, which is, let's see, Mr. Plow isn't macho. He's just a drunk, which is, that's good. And finally, I really like, I find this just delightful because it's so nerdy. A lot of people are still debating if the Simpsons writers are reading this news group. And I've talked about this a little bit before in a couple different episodes, but apparently there's a faction among these news groupers who believe that there is at least one person among the writers or producers who are reading, and they have given him a title of the Confederate. They don't know who it is, but they think they do.
Wow, that's some paranoia right there.
I don't know, but I find it really funny that they have a title. They've given a title to this mystery guy that they somehow think they've contacted. But that's about it. You guys can find this on Google Groups. It's archived there. You can if you just Google it, find it, and you can search through. There's still people on it. People still talking about it. Still talking about like today's, you know, every episode. So it is a weird kind of like historical archive that people are still using it. It's really interesting. But next up is our listener question.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
We have a wiener, Matt.
Yeah.
This week's question is, what is your favorite of Bart's romantic relationships? And I got actually not as big a variety of answers as expected, but all still good. You guys still do a great job. Please keep it up. Please keep sending them in. But sending them in, you know, talking is helpful. First from Sean at Shiny Mac 15, we have Jessica Lovejoy. The transformation of Bart from petty thug to common thief and back gives us such a great Bart character arc. John at Chopstyle 311. Greta Wolfcastle, only because she knew what's up. I can't. It's longer than that.
What's that?
I'm glad you did. You took the bullet for us, Matt, because I don't want to do that. Richard at Richard 8064. Annika, too creepy when he falls for a girl that looks like Milhouse. I wonder if they're trying to say something there. Justin at Justin IFCIT. You're bad, Bart Simpson. You're bad, and I like it. Definitely Jessica Lovejoy. Especially love Ned's beautiful singing. Sam, at Flipside, has to be Laura Powers because she was older, cool, and one of the first, and she tore his heart out. Who hasn't been there? It's true. We have, on a Facebook, we have Zach. This is a newer one, but I always like Bart and Mary Spuckler. Mike, I'm going to end this with a run. So here we go. Mike, Jessica Lovejoy, easily. If your choice isn't either her or Laura Powers, you have picked incorrectly. So, there we go. John, gotta be Jessica Lovejoy with the voice of Meryl Streep and her hair smelling like red Fruit Loops. Who could blame him? And finally, Gretchen, I'm sure this will be a popular answer, but it has to be Jessica Lovejoy, and it's not just because I'm a minister's daughter. Mm-hmm. So, Matt, what is your answer? Did you go with the crowd?
Well, kind of, sort of. I had two to these. One's my actual choice, and then one I strongly considered. I'm a terrible person, I know. I really enjoyed the Bart and Mary Spuckler relationship, just because for once it's a girl who's in a worse family situation than Bart, but is making even more of it. But I'm actually going to have to go with Gina Vendetti, mainly because she was voiced by Sarah Michelle Gellar, who, you know, is completely amazing. And I really liked that, once again, it was basically Bart with a girl who was worse than him, but... It, not in the same way as Jessica Lovejoy. Jessica Lovejoy was really, really bad, and it basically caused Bart to walk back and say, well, I want to be bad, but not that bad. In addition, Gina Vendetti was like that, but in the addition of having a much more screwed up situation that caused Bart to have actual compassion for her. She's not as evil as Jessica Lovejoy. So I really enjoyed that aspect of the episodes that she's been in.
I'm Jessica Lovejoy. There you go, Matt.
Yeah.
It's... that's my choice.
Mr. Go with the crowd.
I love that episode. It's really good. It's a really good episode. It is like a temptation of Bart. I like the temptation of Bart episodes, but in this way, I like the fact that he has to deal with the fact that there's this girl that she likes him and he likes her, but the fact that he can't even realize that this is bad for him, I think that's really fun and very like kind of a mature Bart thing. So, next week's question, guys. This is going to be a tough one. What is your favorite of Homer's jobs?
Oh, God. There's so many choices.
He's only had about a ton, about 10 dozen, maybe? It's a lot. I forget which episode specifically where they did that, like, that ridiculous list where he just listed off every job they've had. I'm going to have to track that down and play it next week because that's really good. But, yes, what's your favorite of Homer's jobs? I will post this question on all our social media. So let's see. On Facebook, you can like us there. It is at facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. You can follow us on Twitter at SimpsonsShowPod. And then, of course, if you want to just email us, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Oh, also, Tumblr. SimpsonsShowPod@tumblr.tumblr.com. I've been posting a little bit there. I'm trying to build it up a little bit. Let's see. Also, I'm posting giveaways from soon. There should probably be a winner posted for our Facebook giveaway by the time you guys hear this. Let's see. For that, you know what time it is, Matt?
Nope.
Okay. Time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge. That makes me laugh every time. The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I would bring three questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, and try and stump the other. Of course, Simpsons questions. I think that's obvious, but I'll say it.
Oh, crap. Give me a second. Give me some more questions.
I know. What is describe carbon dating in detail? Okay, so
that wasn't serious.
We don't need to hear about carbon dating. We take listener suggestions for themes, so please send them in if you have them, and I'll use them time to time. Did not get one this week, so we are on our own. I have some. I'm gonna start us off, Matt. You ready for an easy question?
I suppose.
Okay. What is Barney's last name?
Gumbel.
That is correct.
Sorry. What is Gumbel?
This is not Jeopardy.
All right. Are you ready? I do have a theme this week. See if you can guess what it is.
Okay.
All right, your easy question is, which of Krusty's sidekicks sent him to jail?
That'd be Sideshow Bob.
You are correct, sir. All right, hit me with a medium.
Who did Barney date in Homer's barbershop quartet?
I believe that would be Yoko Ono.
Well, it was a trick question, Matt. I'll give you it.
Uh-oh.
But it's a trick question because she's never named.
Oh, that's a good point. She's, but she does she's ask
referred,
for a...
She's referred to as... the Japanese conceptual artist, which of course is a reference to Yoko Ono, but she's never actually named. But I just wanted to I'll give you credit for it.
All right, appreciate that. Are you ready for your medium question?
I'm ready. Let's see if I get it.
All right, what is Sideshow Mel's real name?
I feel like I know this.
I believe the most obvious place you will have heard it would have been in the second episode of Who Shot Mr. Burns. Mel bursts into the police station and says, "Officers, I am blank."
Yeah, I'm blanking. I cannot think.
All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm. What is it?
Melvin Van Horn.
Van Horn. I was trying to think of the line. I cannot think of it. Okay. You ready for a hard
associate
one?
Associate Herschel Krestowski.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry. Go ahead.
This is a hard one, Matt. I know you've been watching the newer seasons lately. This is definitely a test of that.
Oh no.
I think it's a two answers to this one. One is obvious. The second one is the test. Which two episodes give reasons for Barney to beginning drinking? You know, what are the two ways he has begun drinking in the different in canon of the show? We have shown two different ways. Which episodes are they? Obviously one.
Yeah, the one we just watched.
Okay.
The other one is reasons for Barney to start drinking. The only other one I can think of, I'm not sure I don't remember the name of the episode, but it's the one where we see Marge and Chloe as journalists in high school, and Chloe leaves Barney, and he takes up drinking. I think that's the other one, but I do not remember the name.
Okay, well, you get half credit. That is the correct episode.
Yes!
The name of the episode is She Used to Be My Girl.
Oh, of course.
But that
that's actually a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I'm glad you got it. That's a tough question. Give me the hard one. I couldn't even get the medium. Let's see if I can read myself.
This one you might get because it's a really great gag. In Krusty's comeback special, name two things Luke Perry gets hurt with when he is shot out of a cannon.
I'll see if I can work backwards because he lands at the end in a pillow factory, but it explodes. Uh-huh. So that's one. It explodes.
Yep, that's
one. He's shot through several other factories, I think. He shot through several windows, which I know that would hurt, but I think, was it factories? What is it, like a broken glass recycling or something like that? Or
No.
Nails? It's like a whole bunch of just implement, like factories that are full of like sharp items and like,
There are two very specific things that it says that I'm going for here.
Like acid? Anything involving
that's one. That you did it. That's two of them.
Okay. What's the other one he gets shot through?
Sandpaper.
Sandpaper. Right. Okay. I knew. I was trying to think. Okay.
So those are the ones I remember off the top of my head, and I don't remember if there were any others. I don't think so.
Okay. Matt, you ready for some listener submitted questions?
Oh, I suppose.
These are from Joanna, who routinely sends us. This is a huge list. I've been working off this for a long time. But again, you guys, please, if you want to send us some, I will mix and match. I have no issue with that. Okay, here we go. Who was Homer's new friend that worked in the lighthouse?
Oh.
Mysterious Voyage of Homer.
Yes. Earl.
That is correct. I
can't remember what it stood for, but Earl.
Yeah, I don't remember. Electronic something.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is an easy one, but of course it's fun. What did Homer have printed in rhinestones on the back of his old jacket?
Oh, Disco Stew.
Correct. Disco Stew. That's where that came
disco
from.
Disco Stud, but
yeah. People don't even remember that's where that came from. Like Disco Stew is like this weird character that just exists, and they were like, why is there a Disco Stew? And finally, how did Homer accidentally kill his pet lobster?
By giving a warm bath. They got a little too warm.
Yeah, that's quite warm. Quite a warm bath. Okay, so now, I gave you some questions. Let's do some quotes. How about that, Matt? You ready?
I'm ready.
There we go. Who said, you might even say, I hate the post office. That, my parents. Lousy beatniks.
Hey, Mr. Ned Flanders.
Correct.
Nedward Flanders.
Nedward Flanders. That's just Nedward. Who said, when I grow up, I want to be a principal or a caterpillar.
Oh, Ralph, poor child.
Finally, I'll pump them so full of sap, they'll be blowing their nose with a pancake.
Oh, Lisa, you poor thing. You never could get people right.
Blowing their nose with a pancake.
That's right.
That's good. I like that. I think that's genuinely funny.
yeah.
So finally, I think that'll do it for this week, I think. But it is time to end the show with our final segment. Segment we end every episode with. It's time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Now, Matt, where does this one go? It's a very, very, very good episode. I really like it a lot.
It is, and I feel like this one is definitely going towards the top. It might be the best Homer episode so far. Because I'm looking at the top, I see Homer the Heretic sticks out, and I'm like, is this better than Homer the Heretic? A solid yes, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I was like, it's top five, but where? Where in that window? I think we both are big fans of Homer the Heretic. I think it is better than that. I don't think it beats I Married Marge, though.
No, and because I think a lot of it has to come down to I Married Marge is full of jokes, and it's got the heart, which Mr. Plow has, but not quite in the same amount as I Married Marge. Because I Married Marge is a great Marge and Homer episode, whereas Mr. Plow is pretty much strictly a Homer episode. And but so far, it is our best Homer-only episode, so...
Yeah, it's a revered episode for a reason. It's a really good one. So yeah, number four, right behind I Married Marge, right ahead of Homer the Heretic. But let's see, Lisa Substitute still number one. See how long that lasts. Tough competition coming up, and finally, last place, 68, Homer's Odyssey. But I hinted last week that there's a season 11 episode that I knew that I would put below it. And someone guessed it right of all the people who gave us. I got several tweets at me saying, is it this one? One person got it. It was correct. But I love the fact that there was multiple episodes of season 11. People were like, it's that one, isn't it? That's the one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well.
So wait, which one was it then?
I'm not saying. I got suspense. We got to keep up the suspense for another couple years, man.
Let's see. We're doing about, what, two seasons a year? So, okay. Yeah, we'll find out sometime, what, 2017, 2018, maybe?
Yeah, just wait till then.
All right, fine.
You'll be fine.
That or next time I see you, I'm just going to hit you until you tell me.
Don't, please. Don't. Violence doesn't get you anywhere, Matt.
It gets you a lot of places.
Get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar.
Fine, I'll just beat you to death with Batman on a horse.
That's more vinegar. That's not honey
but,
at all.
But it's Batman on a horse, so it's better.
No. Speaking of looking ahead, what is our next episode, Matt?
Let's see here. Our next episode is, let's check the list, Lisa's First Word.
Lisa's First Word. This is actually, speaking of ratings, this was one of the ones that had very good ratings because there was a lot of hype about Maggie talking for the first time.
Yeah.
So it had a lot of ratings just simply because there was a lot of hype about it. But interesting. I'll be interested to watch it again and discuss it. You can find this list, this best episode ever list, at our website, which is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. It has everything there, links to all our social media, obviously new episodes, you can comment, all that stuff. And you, of course, donate to the show if you'd like. We'd really appreciate it. Let's see. I think kind of wrap it up with that, Matt. Before we go, I'm on Twitter, at Mixmaster Cheryl. It's MixmasterCereal. I've also begun blogging at batmanonahorse.com, now that Matt mentions it. It's just random stuff, mostly about video games. It seems that's what I've been writing about mostly later. But it's on my Twitter, so if you follow my Twitter and want to, you can read it there. Also, please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I have sloughed off my social media responsibilities to my newly minted nieces and nephews. They spend most of their time playing Minecraft. So if you happen to run across what you suspect to be several small children and have questions for me, just ask the kids. They might have a response for you.
Those poor children. Those poor kids. With that, call it a day. All right, Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.